Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Morning Mojo Call. My name is Nancy Holtzman. I'm a Regional Vice President in the Maryland Marketplace, and I'd like to welcome you to our Morning Mojo this week. And we do these every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning. Get about 15 minutes of your Morning Mojo to get your day started. And this morning, if you guys are usually on my Mojo calls, I love to talk to you about books, but this morning I'm actually not going to talk to you about a book. And I'm actually going to talk to you about something that has been on my mind lately. So it's called resilience. And it's about the resilience and being capable of bouncing back. And a lot of us, I think somebody else is on the speaker line. If they could mute themselves out, that would be great. So I'm going to talk to you about resilience this morning and how to bounce back, because I think a lot of us go through this. You know, life is an emotional roller coaster, and we all know that being in a business is an entrepreneur roller coaster. And so how do we try to take advantage of being more on the good times than the bad times? And a lot of it has to do with resilience. And you want to learn what that word means, because it means that you're incapable of being upset or agitated, and that you are not easily excited in a negative way, and that you can remain calm. Because it has been proven that this is how successful people stay on top, how they stay successful. If you've ever looked, you know, in any sort of industry, you have a 1% group, and that 1% group tends to stay consistent. How? They've learned to master this. So it's an inspirational goal, of course. So it's something that you have to continually practice and perfect every day. So, you know, it's got to roll from week to week, and you've got to learn to be resilient. So how much time and focus and money is lost each day because of your lack of resilience? I know for me, it's been a lot personally over the last 18 months, especially with my ACM business. And I should have known that I have to learn to separate things and to bounce back and to pay more attention to my work. So it's the end thought. It's that thought of bouncing back, that reminder that I love the most, because sometimes we feel defeated, and when we feel defeated, sometimes we feel it's over. And I think it's more realistic for us to learn how to bounce back, to strengthen our ability to bounce back quickly from daily frustrations, angers, and disappointments, that we need to learn to get the good things to move faster, and some of the bad things that don't want to disappear out of our lives and that we're waiting for them to disappear out of our lives to get back on track or to get back started, that it may be we just have to learn to bounce away from them, that they're not going to disappear. So I've been trying to study this for the last week or two because I need to bounce back. So the four ways that I'm looking to change to be more resilient is, number one is I have to start focusing on results instead of focusing on my problems. So you have to, number one, to be resilient is focus on results. Number two is to make these lessons of failure just lessons. Not that they define you, not that they stop you. Number three is you have to continue, but be smarter. You know, you have to learn to move on, to keep moving forward, but just be smarter about it. And number four, after I read a bunch of books, is you got to look for reinforcement, because a lot of people can't do it on their own. They need that reinforcement. So today I'm going to give you a few ways to bounce back. I call them life hacks for the faint of heart. So not long ago, you know, I asked myself, is there anything I can do to bounce back from something that's going wrong in my life right now? Because I feel like I'm just not bouncing back about it. So how can I build up resilience if I'm struggling with this issue that's killing my self-esteem? It's just making me dead in my tracks. And it's a good question, especially if historically you've had trouble picking up pieces along the way. So resilience, what I'm learning right now, is a skill set that's actually learned in childhood. So those who grew up with loving and supportive parents, you're going to have a better skill set at this, because if you have more of what we call a secure attachment, you're better at making a comeback after life goes south. What this has to do with basically is your self-confidence. On one hand, you know, your general understanding of missteps or even failures are something that you expect in life. But those who of us who grew up with parents that maybe had an unforgiving glare, maybe who weren't around at all, or whether that your parent maybe had a high narcissistic trait, or you grew up with a parent who was a perfectionist. You know, those who follow Darren Hardy learn about how his father was this. He was a perfectionist. He was very hypocritical. Or one who maybe was controlling or combative. They tend to see success as a test of yourself and your failure and a mark of shame. Their fear of failure is not only makes them more risk adverse, but it also makes it harder for them to come back when they have something upsetting or something they feel is a failure or holding them back. And they have a hard time with productive strategies to recover from their setbacks. So often the theory of personality sees some people as approach-oriented, motivated by goal setting, but realistic enough to anticipate setbacks. They are the folks who are comfortable in having a plan B in their pocket, which is part of a parcel of resilience. It's always having a plan B. Well, that's a great thing, especially in the industry that we're all in with ACM. Those people who go down for the count are those who are avoidance, who avoid the things when things go bad. They feel this, and their advice is always to avoid. And they see things as mountains that have to be scaled, and they're filled with fear and tend to find ways not to climb it at all. So if you see yourself in this description, and you have to learn resilience skills, and these are skills that are neither, they're not born with them, and they're things that you can learn. You have to learn what you can do to recover when life heads south. So the following are suggestions that I've gotten from some actually psychological research I've been doing lately, reading books, talking to people, and some of the books are Quitting, Why We Fear It, and Why We Shouldn't in Life and Love Quit, and also a book called Daughter Detox. And it's recovering from unresolved issues with your parents. So these are some of the things that I learned from those books. Number one is, don't compare yourself to other people, especially when you're in a bad time, when you feel like you're having something that's setting you back or you're going through some troubling experience. Number one is, don't compare yourself with other people. Yes, competition and being competitive is supposed to spur you on. And when you're in a good mental mindset, that is a good place to be. But when you're not, the reality is it shuts most people down. And you can't see how life can go smoothly and compete if you're not in a good mindset. And the worst thing you can do at that point in time in your life is make a list of, you know, mentally we make lists in our heads of everyone we know who's doing much better than us. Years ago, I realized that when I was struggling with work, the worst place I could go was on social media, because I would go and I would be staring at social media and I'd be looking at the lives of all these other people thinking they had the perfect lives, their lives were so lucky, you know, that they were so successful. And, you know, that I was never going to be as good as them and that everything was perfect. But that's not reality. And, you know, what you have to do is you have to compare what's happening to you at the moment when you're facing a crisis and see whether there are things you've begun to handle better in new moments of understanding. Don't compare what other people have done. Look what you're doing. Look how you've gotten through other struggles in your life when you were faced with adversity. This isn't meant as a permission to slip away and like to play like a Pollyanna or something like that, but it's meant to spur you on to take a look at what progress you've made, because you've got to make that first step of progress to move forward. Number two is defang self-criticism. If you're someone who tends to be very hard on yourself, and I am extremely hard on myself, and, you know, and who defaults to blaming your innate character flaws or setbacks, try to nip that in the bud. Talk back to the voices that are telling you that you're, that this is a hopeless situation, and that you have to figure out where that voice is coming from and why you're having it. It is an echo of what things, like especially what your parents used to say to you, is what most psychologists say, that when you go down those rabbit holes, it is from past experiences, not the experience you're currently in. So it could be because you were bullied as a child, or you had a sibling that bullied you, or maybe even right now you have a friend or a significant other who puts you down or who is bullying you. And they can tend to make other situations like rejection, you know, something that sets us back. So instead, take a deep breath and see what part of this disaster that you're dealing with right now is actually your responsibility. Yes, think responsibility, not fault. It's what will help you analyze to see problems as if it was a stranger. And that distance permits us to see things that we were otherwise blind to. And they're the things that are holding us back, the fear. Three is work on managing your emotions. Dealing with your feelings of upset, pain, and disappointment is the major task at hand, especially if you see setbacks as evidence of the of lack of your worth. And being able to label what you're feeling and why will enable you to begin to pick up the pieces and be more productive. If you're prone to emotional flooding, seek counseling. This is really important, is to seek counseling if you are having overwhelming fears. You know, emotional intelligence is learned behavior that can be strengthened and bolstered. Number four, really important, refocus when there's a sinkhole by making concrete plans and write them down. See, everything is about that focus. In addition to managing your emotions, you need to be able to begin to look forward and make plans for a positive future. Research shows that coming up with a concrete plan will motivate you enough to kickstart the process of recovery, because that's what we need. We need to recover and get back on track, especially if you write your goals down. Yes, we all know this. We know there's actual research that shows writing down goals motivates you more than just thinking about them. So do it. Plot, plan, and do it in writing. Depending on what you're recovering from, whether it's a breakup, a bad family situation, a personal situation, a friendship, job, a love relationship that's gone bad, or you're just feeling rejected, goal planning basically works the same. So you've got to be dealing with life in what we call quadrants. Don't try to change everything at once. In one of the books that I read, the author talks about she was trying to put her house for sale, so I could relate to this. And she said that she was overwhelmed and despaired because her house was a mess. It was in a total chaos. And a friend of hers said to her, who she admired because her friend's house was always neat and in perfect order, she said, the reason that it is I make stacks of things. I tackle each room in sections, and I break them up into four quadrants. And then I only work in that one area, because if not, it's too overwhelming. And I think what happens to a lot of us, you know, when I read this and try to put it in my situation, is something I'm personally facing right now is very overwhelming to me. But what I never have done is broken it down, because I can't see an end date. And so what I'm looking at is, how do I break this down now so that I can get back on with my life? So we've got to learn to break things down. So we won't, because when things go south in our lives, many of us want to fix everything at once. Me, I just want to fix everything. Like in 24 hours, I want to fix. But I've got to learn that some things are out of my control to fix that quickly. And what it does is, when we can't fix it, it overwhelms and paralyzes us. So we have to learn to break things down to keep moving on. So divide it and then conquer it piece by piece. You know, I love Donna Perkins' story. A lot of you might have saw this past weekend, they were streaming it on Facebook. But, you know, her story is, she had to break things down to move on with her life. And as she did, she conquered each thing to become regional vice president. So another tip is, subtract your blessings instead of counting them. This is a bit of wisdom that is drawn from one of the researchers in the book's favorite piece of research from inspired by the movie It's a Wonderful Life. She talks about the scene where Clarence the angel shows George what would have happened to all the people in his life if he had never been born. Well, researchers wondered whether people would actually feel more gratitude if they mentally subtracted their blessings rather than count them. And guess what? Imagine those people and things that bring a smile to your face gone from your life will make you feel more grateful than the act of counting. So counterintuitively, when you're struggling with a loss, take an inventory of all things that remain by subtracting. And then the last tip is, put the relentless, upbeat people in your life on hold for a moment. Now, I know that sounds really weird, but our culture tends to be very impatient about recovery from a loss or setback. And there is, unfortunately, a whole group of people who seem to believe that there is an expiration date on getting back on your feet. Then those people there are those who believe that everything happens for a reason. And while it may be helpful for them to approach that life that way, it's not going to help you in your circumstance. Instead, you should surround yourself with people who will listen to you without preaching. This is why I say, seek help. Don't talk to people who will help, will mentally counsel you. Hearing that you are being too pessimistic or that you need to look on the bright side necessarily isn't going to help you when you're going through something bad. So no matter how well-meaning those people actually are, you've got to seek solutions on how you can bounce back, not how they bounce back. So recovery is a process, not a single step. Seek help and guidance, and above all, practice self-compassion. So today, I wish for all of you that you learn to be resilient and bounce back and learn to cover work quickly by just breaking things down. So everybody, have a great day. Go out there and bounce back from life's emotional roller coaster, and you will reach the top. Take care.